everyone, and welcome to another episode of Right Wing Lies, presented by Breitbart. No, I'm just lying. It is, of course, the Richard Lewis
that's
Show.
That's how we start the show, mate. More lies.
Yeah, more lies. See, yeah, it's fucking lies within lies. It's like Inception, except shit. Actually, Inception wasn't all that good, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm
controversial sick opinion.
Of people talking about it every fucking time.
Controversial.
When fucking Citizen Kane and Pulp Fiction was like, I love fucking Inception, me, because it fucking blew my small little mind. I don't care, mate. Who's arsed?
No, but the end with the top. This,
but it was spinning and then it almost fell. But you never saw.
Yeah, you don't. Like, it's like, come on, guys. It was all right. It had some great set pieces. It's a very easy to watch movie. Just wasn't all that great, was it? Really?
Yeah, it was fine.
Best thing about it was the fucking soundtrack, dude. Hans Zimmer fucking killed
that shit.
The thing
is, people who keep telling me that Inception's the greatest film of all time has made me hate Inception more than I probably should. It's a fine film.
It's a Rick and Morty type thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. It's like 3.5-4 stars, maybe. But, like, people fucking... Oh, what Nolan did was he completely reinvented the blockbuster. Right, listen.
Have you seen The Matrix? Like, come on.
It's just not great is what I'm saying. It's not great, Sam. But anyway, yeah, we were lying. Nothing to do with any right wing websites or anything like that. I just like trolling you because I can joke about it now. I'm free. Oh God, it's great, mate. It's great. It's like it's such a fucking weight off my fucking shoulders. To not have to worry about people going after my job every day, corporate America being forced to act against Richard Lewis and the things he's never said and never done. My hair's growing back. I've lost weight. It's like, oh, this is awesome. But look, so before we get into the show, it was a pretty shit week for me. I was in Indiana. I'm not going to say specifically where, but I was in a small town in Indiana. And man alive, I people know I'm on record. I love America, but some parts are better than others. Like, I just want to go on the record.
Vegas is pretty good, like.
Yeah, love that Vegas. Do love Vegas. Love living here. It's fucking great. But I went to this small town in Indiana, and I was looking after Maria while she was having her surgery. Right, so. We were holed up in a hotel before she was sort of medically cleared to fly. And obviously she was out a lot of the time, a couple of nights in hospital for observation, all of that stuff. So I was just climbing the fucking walls, bored out of my mind. But I'm like, fuck it. I'm in a hotel. You can do shit. You can drink mainly. There's a gym. You just alternate between the two. Drink, gym. It's all good. So I was like... As we headed up there to this town, the woman in the Uber goes, oh, I'm so jealous of you going to that place. It's so nice. It's so nice. I'd love to be going there. And I'm thinking, all right, maybe this is going to be banging. We got there. It's all roads and no footpaths. It's impossible to walk anywhere. It was literally impossible to walk anywhere. I was like, oh, just going to head down to the grocery store, get a bottle of scotch for the room.
Got an horse to ride, mate.
Yeah. It was like that. They were like... you'll need an Uber. I'm like, but it says on my maps here, it's just 5 minutes. Yeah, but there's no footpath to it. I'm just on a fucking island in the middle of a fucking freeway.
What kind of fucking mess is that?
Yeah, urban planning nightmare, right?
If you want to go, you have to risk being roadkill, mate, dancing in between like Frogger.
Yeah, and then like the fucking, I was like, oh, have you got a bar here? Because, I want to have a drink. And they were like, no. But what we do have is we have a social night where you get free alcohol. And I was like, oh, free booze. That's great. And what happened in this hotel was a dude would turn up between like 7 and 9 o'clock every night. And he would just have bottles of booze, right?
Who is this man?
I don't know.
What do you mean, a dude, mate? It can't just be a dude.
No, he was.
Is he like the bravest cunt to brave the country road and walk amongst the cars? He just brings all the booze with him.
He was just a fucking dude, and he just turned up with bottles, and then he would just say, like, what do you want? And he would just give
moonshine,
you, like, free...
please.
Yeah, I guess it's the moonshine again. And you would drink it, right? You would just drink the booze, and no money changed hands. It's all free. But, like, at 9, he was gone. He was literally 1 second past nine. All the lids went back on. No one was having anything else. And out he went. And then it was like, I would come down to the lobby in the hotel and it would be like, it's now 10 p.m. It's our quiet time. It was like, there was nothing to do after like 9 o'clock. It was fucking surreal. Now, I live in Vegas. Like, everything's fucking 24 hours all the time. I can walk down the street drinking a fucking beer and the cops won't stop you here. It's got, you've got, you know, you don't have to conceal alcohol or anything in Vegas. It's fucking great. And this place was just like, it was like a fucking time warp. It was. It reminded me of that Michael J. Fox movie, Doc Hollywood. You ever seen? There's no joke.
I'm aware of Doc Hollywood, but I haven't sat down to watch it. No.
I am above making Parkinson's jokes. All right. I know you think that's what we're gonna do here. I'm not. It's not like that. That's sad. That's just sad. It just makes me sad. But Doc Hollywood is it's about a really good
plastic surgeon or something.
And he has to go to the fucking Mumbles. He goes to some small bumfuck town. And basically, he thinks he's hot shit, but he ain't hot shit. And he has to learn to fucking cope with everything's garbage, you know.
Curing people's gout or whatever the fuck is going on around these areas. Yeah,
like, he thinks he's going to save some kid's life and then because he's having a heart attack. And then some old doctor comes out and goes, well, if you knew anything about this small village, Michael, you would know that he is peptic. And if you just give him a little drink of flat Coca-Cola, mercy, he do catch the vapor. And he is whatever.
Catch the vapors.
Beethoven,
fucking
right?
Mad fucking Texan witch doctor is this.
Look, listen, right? I'm fucking. Everything
all
I
need to do is do a little throat chant.
The South I got from a KFC advert, right? Anyway, and then he gives him like a drink of Coca-Cola in it. And so, he fixes him. It makes Michael Jackson like an idiot. But then at the end of the movie, he learns to love the charms of living in the fucking middle of nowhere, right? And like, it ain't so bad. I think I'm going to, because he gets called back to the hospital or something. He goes, I think I'm going to stay here with all my new rural friends. And the colonel's there at the end like, now I will tell you the recipe.
14 hidden herbs and spices, Michael J. Fox.
Not even 9 a.m. here, mate. If people are expecting straight fire sharp material before 9, like, it's not happening. But anyway, point is, I would not be Michael J. Fox in that movie. I would be like, listen, I can't wait to get back to your city hospital. This is shit. The toilets are outdoors. There's a man who brings you moonshine for 2 hours a day, and they call that socializing. Get me the fuck out.
The man bringing booze sounds like a good system, but you know, keep it for longer than 2 hours if he's going to be giving free booze out.
But I'm just glad to be back in a real place. You know what I mean? So anyway, let's get on with the show. Loads of just stupid news stories, Sam, like unbelievably stupid news stories. I had to sit there in this fucking place in Indiana just watching the news be stupid and everything being stupid. I'm going to do an experiment, by the way. So I'm preparing everybody for this. Much like, you know how Facebook experiments on its like users all the time? And it's just there in the TOS. We will run psyops on you 24/7, just because we can. And people are like, as long as I get to play Farmville.
What's that, Zingo Poker? Sign me up.
I don't mind. Fucking scoop out the contents of my mind and sell it to politicians and corporations. As long as I fucking put a tractor on my fake farm, I'm there. So anyway, I'm going to run an experiment on all your motherfuckers watching today. I am going to end the podcast with just the saddest story of all time.
See if you can break it on the way up.
That's what I mean. I just want to see if people come back.
That's not a great experiment, is it?
I've just got to know, Sam.
It's definitely no win-win in this scenario.
I literally saw one of the saddest news stories I've ever seen. So I'm going to end on that, right, and just see what happens. And if there's no people watching the next episode, we know, right, not to do that.
But then it's too late. What do you mean?
I'm gambling.
But there's no win.
The ace of spades. I'm fucking ready. I don't want to live forever, Sam, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but give it a couple more years. Already just starting it.
Let's start. YouTube. Before we get to YouTube, let's talk about some didn't happens. I've actually got some didn't happens and just ridiculous stuff. I saw this post, right? Somebody linked me to this. This was a post from Facebook. I don't know what the fuck is happening here. But basically, somebody... Oh, hang on. I've got to get the...
Wait, is that a fucking chupacabra?
Wait. Because it don't work without... I've only got one half of it. It doesn't work without the other half. So hang on, I've got to get it. All right. I'll
I'm
tell
just
you what.
I'm going to show the picture of the creature, mate, as a little teaser. I won't give any of the story.
Oh yeah, if I don't see, this is what happens. It's too early. I've got to scroll through my fucking lights to find the picture. I don't even know what it is. Is it like a fucking?
Looks like some sort of fucking human clone gone wrong. Is what that thing looks like, mate. What's happened there?
Funny you should mention that. But yeah, is it like an armadillo or something? Is that what it is?
According to this, I think it says it's a possum.
That don't look like no possum.
Yeah, but a possum. Well, maybe it could be a furless possum. Let me search possum baby.
Right.
Nah. Oh, no, it could be. Could be a furless possum. I don't see any, though. Like, yeah, baby right. Possum's already got fur, so I reckon it's a light.
Okay, all right. So anyway, I'm ready now. I got the second half. Good. So basically, someone posted this on Facebook. This is just how we passively experience social media, I suppose. Here's the... Oh, there you go. He's a wombat, says in the thing.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
The reason I have stopped and checked approximately 20 deceased wombats on the roads near my home in the past 5 years. This little boy's mum had been killed during the night and left in the middle of the road on a blind corner on a 90-kilometre road with part of the bumper from the car responsible only a metre away. It is at times impossible to avoid hitting wildlife, and if stopping to check for little guys like this isn't reason enough, please at least stop, move them off the road, and help protect other road users. And you can see, there's the baby wombat. And it's like what the individual is saying is...
What, mate, I wouldn't be picking that cunt up with my bare ass. Look at his claws, mate. Yeah. That's a killing machine.
No, it looks like something out of an 80s horror film about demons.
I can't
deal with that. But I would call a vet, right?
Like, I'd get him off the road, but I ain't bringing him home fucking make my new fucking pet. I'm affording someone who deals with these wombats. Absolute wombats.
Hello, wombat to Russ.
I've got a wild wombat here. He's going wild again.
But anyway, right? So, somebody follows this up. Because you can see from the picture with the blankets and all that. Somebody followed it up with saying, "Oh my God, congratulations. He's beautiful. I miss you so much." And the person who made the post, question marks. And the reply is, "Fuck. I didn't look properly. I thought you had your babe." Can you even imagine looking at that and thinking it's a human fucking baby? Like holy shit. What are you saying? What are you fucking talking about? But like, to even... This is another point, right?
Baby's got claws, mate. Right? Look at the lens on him.
Lying when they say your baby's beautiful. It's just something to say. No baby is beautiful. Miniature Winston Churchills with their gross, smooth skin, weak ball back hair,
weak necks, can't even hold their head. Straight falling everywhere.
Bobbing around like you've been at a rave for fucking 6 days.
Baby comes out looking like he's on ket, just rolling around.
Let me tell you straight up, people are just straight lying, and this is the fucking proof. This person said, "Oh, your baby's beautiful." It's a fucking wombat! Wombat, you mad cunt! Anyway, so there's that bit of wombats. Also this one sent to me. This has got it all. This is brain power combined with didn't happen, because I know we haven't done didn't happens for a while. I am getting didn't happen emotes made for the channel as well, by the way, so... that's coming. Anyway, so first thing you need to know is that the person on Facebook here has danger as their mid-name.
Literally.
Like, get me the fuck out. Like, if that doesn't tell you this person is a fucking incel, I don't know what is. Like, you know, that is like a joke from fucking, well, actually, from Blackadder, if I remember rightly, and then obviously Austin Powers. Danger's my middle name. Like, it's not funny, is it? I know I sound like the guy from Super Seducer. It's just not clever, is it? But anyway, fucking incredible night, says our friend Danger. So I was getting on bus the...
Getting on bus the... Getting on that bus the... Yeah,
getting on... And in front, this really hot girl was with her prick boyfriend who was shouting at her in a suit. I stepped in and said, excuse me, you really shouldn't speak to a beautiful girl like that. Who do you think you are? They went quiet and he said he needed to, I need to cool down, and walked off. Then out of nowhere, spelt with a K, this girl literally started kissing me and whispered in my ear.
Literally started kissing me, as opposed to fucking figuratively.
Yeah, as opposed to psychic kissing me. Then out of nowhere, this girl literally started kissing me and whispered in my ear, I want to get to know you.
Oh, women, mate, this is so tragic.
Women say that all the time. Like, right? I want to
What's
get
that?
To know
going
you.
Through a terrible relationship right now and I'm having a really big argument. I want to get to know you. Yeah, that'll happen.
I said, but I don't even know you are Nim, and she just winked at me. Later on the bus, I heard the boyfriend shout, what do you mean you've lost your driver's license again? I looked in my pocket and it turned out she'd given me her license so I could fine her again. Must work for the police.
Yeah, that's another parking ticket. Second license you've lost.
So fucking amazing. So before we just get on to the replies, like, wouldn't it just have been... I don't know, the inconvenience of not having your giving your driving license to a total stranger in the hope that they're vibing off you and want to fucking
just
get
fraud the shit out of you, steal your identity. That's mine now.
It is unreal. So anyway, somebody replied to him, where did this guy go to cool off? The top of the bus? And he goes, nah, man, it was a bendy bus. You only get them in London, you wouldn't understand. It's a fairly simple concept. It's a bus that so has to have a bend in the middle so it can get around fucking corners. And then when someone's like, what does that even mean? So, on Facebook, complete didn't happen. Like, I mean, this is like textbook didn't happen. All it needs is everybody applauding. But obviously that wouldn't work for the big reveal with the driving license. But it's pretty tragic, isn't it, that anybody would sort of... Just blows my mind.
Yeah, that someone sits down and comes, I'm going to come up with a story where I'm the hero and I finally get the girl.
Yeah, it's going to be me. I'm the hero this time. Finally. Fuck off, Danger, mate.
Well, you just not be a creepy cunt and then maybe you'll get someone who's actually interested in you. Weird that.
Exactly. Then there was this, another classic didn't happen. I just call this post Brexit Teeth. And you'll see this was on Twitter, mate. This is how you troll IRL. My 15-year-old is pretty cross about Brexit. I mean, the priorities of every 15-year-old right there, isn't it? Raging hormones, you know, an increasing pressure from society to achieve so you can go on and be a functional adult, staring down the barrel of adulthood at 15. He had braces fitted today, and without skipping a beat, he asked for yellow and blue bands so that every time his grandparents make him smile, they are reminded of their vote to stifle his fuck off. He's not asked for Brexit teeth, has he? He's not gone to the dentist. Excuse me, I know that you're just a dentist, but can you
make my teeth liberal?
Install braces that have a distinct political message, please. Like, fucking hell.
Imagine if a dentist mad trolled him and changed the blue to purple. So, well, you kit mouth now, aren't you, mate? Straight fucking ruins him, mate. Absolutely ruin his day, man.
UKIP mouth. Oh, yeah. UKIP mouth. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? That would be brilliant. Oh, mate, we should make a fake Twitter. Just Photoshop that with just purple. Maybe even little mini Nigel Farages.
No, just do Brexit. Brexit.
Mate, Brexit means Brexit, that's all.
He goes, Brexit means, just pointing to his teeth, Brexit.
Right. So let's get into all these news stories that I've been talking about, just all these unbelievably stupid fucking news stories I've seen. So YouTube, an absolute shit state of affairs. I'm going to keep it light and breezy. We might talk about the YouTube shooting in another episode.
I forgot about that show in ages.
I mean, obviously, it's not going to make the news cycle because it was nothing to do with the NRA, like everyone was sort of really hoping for. Instead, it was
so mental, people just stop being asked if it's not going to fit the narrative they really care about.
Yeah, but I mean, that's true on both sides.
No, I mean, yeah, both sides of the spectrum. I mean, just in general, in media and coverage, it is fucking crazy. Yeah. You can just go to a paper and it's like, oh, look, they have wrote about that. And then you go to the other one, oh, they definitely have because they love that one, don't they? Like, obviously.
They're all about that. So, anyway, maybe we'll talk about that. I don't know. Because, you know, maybe the window of opportunity to talk about it is gone. But anyway, YouTube. I tweeted this out a while ago. I think before I went to Indiana. Ridiculous story. In an era where by the numbers can't even get monetized without us having to go through the stupid YouTube appeals process. That's two men talking about Counter-Strike, a video game.
Today's vlog got demonetized as well, mate. As soon as it was uploaded, straight away, no ads for you.
Meanwhile, of course, all the YouTube staff are saying, no, we really care about esports and gaming content. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't care about that. You care about unboxing videos. You care about fucking Elsa
reaction
and Spider-Man. Yeah, you care about fucking garbage reaction vids and obviously anything that fits a super ultra liberal narrative that you can push to the front page, artificially promote, and then say, actually, look, our audience is into this. You care about your corporate sponsors. You don't care about anything else. You don't care about content creators. You stopped caring about content creators about 3 fucking years ago, which is why you fucking have this now ridiculous situation that just doesn't enable anybody to make money. And that's fine. It's a shame there's no alternatives, but whatever. But it is weird how there's these like wild inconsistencies. Like, as I said, our YouTube channel, barely worth the effort. I know as well, I'm never getting my play button. I sent them an email saying, hi, I recently went past 100,000. Do I get my, you know, play button, my silver play button or whatever it is?
Please fill out this political opinion survey and we'll get back to you.
They sent me an email saying, it may take some time. We must independently assess whether you have obtained your 100,000 subscribers legitimately. And I was like, now
it's only taken me 3 years, mate. Yeah, I cheated.
No, I haven't achieved it legitimately, actually. It's been completely illegitimate because you've been unsubscribing motherfuckers for fucking years, you fucking lying bastards. And you still pretend you fucking don't do it. Even though I get 12 messages a fucking day of people saying, bloody hell, I've been unsubscribed again. No, nope, you're all mentally ill. You're all imagining it. It's a fucking, it's mass psychosis, right? But yeah, so no, it wasn't legitimate. It was a fucking unbelievable slog with everything stacked against me and I still fucking did it. Now give me my motherfucking play button.
So I can do a bong it out of it.
I'll tell you, we're never getting it, so I don't even But when we don't get it, but if we do get it, I will smash it to smithereens on a show. This is how little it means to me. I just want YouTube to have to foot the postage. I'm going to bust their balls every day I don't get it, right? Because I saw there's some fucking absolute gimp called Kavos or something. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's a YouTuber. 800,000 subscribers, and he was mourning about it. His content is dog shit, and he's got 800,000 subs. He can barely string a sentence together, doesn't have an original thought in his head. He's like, he just sits there like saying, all his videos as well have like other successful YouTubers in the title, like Logan Paul, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Jake Paul. And it's just him like giving an opinion about it. And it's the most watered down and inane opinion ever. Like, going, well, what I think is when Logan Paul went to do the photo of the suicide man and that was bad. Anyway, like and subscribe for more of it. Fucking beam me up, mate. You fucking... worth listening. Like, you don't have an original thought in your mind, you fucking daft cunts. And he's got 800,000 subs and they haven't given him his play button. Same reason, they're intimating it's illegitimate in some way. Now, whatever the fuck. But yeah, we're not getting ours, right? So we're definitely not up. But if it turns up, I vow.
I want to make it a pipe first, mate. Remember the agreement.
I will smash it to bits. And just smash it to bits, and then, you know, obviously off camera, I promise I'll shit on it, right?
But through a glass ceiling.
Through a glass ceiling, beat it straight fire. You know, fuck YouTube. Like, you've done nothing for me. You've done nothing for me except make my life way more difficult than it has to be. And look at me, I'm just a guy. I just talk about shit. I just bring up news and talk about it. I don't know why I'm criticizing anyone else's content. If I wasn't so fucking funny and straight fire as a human being, this would be lowest common denominator, but I'm fucking amazing, so I make it work. Right?
Fucks are God.
No, fuck them. I've told you. Anyway, meanwhile, fucking... I can't get my 100k play button, but one of the most YouTube are just letting YouTubers run around poisoning homeless people now.
Oh, I saw this. It's a fucking nightmare. Banter.
We're just gonna poison a homeless person for the bants, and we're gonna put it on YouTube, and it's fucking monetized. This was a monetized video. It happened like 2 years ago. So this was a YouTuber who lives in Barcelona called Reset. He's got over 1 million subs. Of course he has.
Subs because are about to get reset, man. Trust me, those are going down.
Who gives a fuck? Who gives a... Mate, it's doing it now anyways. We're going to put BTN out later today. What do you think happens? 100 subs straight off the top? Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Like, what are you going to do to me, YouTube? You're going to put me in the fucking stasis gulag? Who gives a fuck? I'll just stick to Twitch. I'll just pull my voice. Wall and probably to make more money than your shit dead platform. Anyway, Reset, right? He's a YouTuber who came up with a fucking genius idea of poisoning homeless people for clicks. And what he did was he took Oreos, split the Oreos apart, scooped out the delicious creamy center of the Oreo, and then he put toothpaste in and then squeezed the Oreo back down. And then went and fed them to homeless people. Now, here's the thing. If you go to, like, the Center for fucking Poison Control or whatever the fuck it is, right? It will tell you toothpaste isn't good for you to eat. It's got fluoride in it. It's not, like, a lethal poison. But you won't be very well if you eat a tube of toothpaste.
It'll fuck your belly up for a while, yeah.
Yeah, right? Now, here's the thing. What makes it worse is if that's not bad enough, right? He fed this Oreo to a 52-year-old homeless man from Romania, a man who it subsequently was revealed had fled Ceausescu's regime in Romania. I won't get into that because I'm conscious of time, because I've got to go do Ocelot's podcast in a bit, right? But just read about the horrors of the Ceausescu regime and things that have gone on in Romania, and you might understand why people didn't want to live there. You might understand why they executed Ceausescu on Christmas Day, I think it was. I think they shot him on Christmas Day, if I remember rightly. That's off the top of my head. I could be wrong. I think they killed him and his wife on Christmas Day. And it gave the nation a great lift. It was the best present of all, some might say, because Ceausescu was a piece of shit. Now, anyway, after feeding the poisoned Oreo to the homeless man for the lulz, he even made a joke saying, maybe I've gone a bit far, but look at the positive side. This will help him clean his teeth. I think he hasn't cleaned them because he's poor.
Well, maybe next time, give the cunt a toothbrush and some toothpaste instead of poisoning him. How about that? Maybe look after a guy who's in need. Weird that.
Imagine if you went and donated things to your local homeless shelters. Imagine if you went and did community outreach. Imagine you with a million subscribers, even if you didn't go out. Maybe you can't bring yourself to talk to human beings who are down on their luck, right? Maybe, a lot of people get squeamish around the homeless. We won't fucking beat around the bush in that regards. Maybe with a million subscribers, you could have made a video saying, you know, if this gets a million likes, I will fund dental work for homeless people in my local neighborhood. Could have done that, didn't. Could have just done a video saying, hey, I'm not going to do it. The ultimate hypocrisy. I'm not going to do anything, but hey, you, my subs, my own personal private army, maybe you could do something. Didn't.
And even then, that's like, I guess I'm not a big fan of people doing that. Like, oh, no, when they do those YouTube videos, like, oh, I'm taking this guy out for a day, and they just got a camera in his face. Like, I understand you're doing some good, but I don't know. The whole fucking YouTube thing using homeless people to get views and shit, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
No, I know that's definitely the lesser of two evils. If you're gonna do it, at least make sure the person has a nice time. Like, treat them well, not obviously poison people on the streets.
But it's just unreal, isn't it? Like, how YouTubers are so divorced from fucking reality. And like I said, we use YouTube, but I am not a YouTuber. You can spot a YouTuber. They've got vacuous opinions. All they care about is, you know, riding whatever's popular. They don't create original content. They're not interested in the grind. They define themselves just by numbers. And if they lose, like, 10,000 subs overnight when you've got millions, they'll make a video. Why am I losing subs? They're just completely wrapped up in this vapid, narcissistic world. You know, their videos all look the same. And one of the hallmarks of a typical YouTuber is fucking other people, real human beings, just don't matter. They are props in their video. That's why you get people like fucking Logan Paul. There's a dead cunt over there. Let's go film the dead cunt and talk about how it makes me, the real cunt, feel. Oh, I've never seen a dead body before. I've come to a place where there are notorious dead bodies. Yeah, exactly. And this is a fresh dead body, and the relatives probably don't know that the person is dead. They're still technically missing, and I will film it and put it on YouTube and talk about how it makes me sad. Then 2 minutes later, make a joke about it to a kid. You know, they're fucked in the head, mate. Like, they're all fucked in the head. They do not exist in the same fucking world that we do. That's the truth. So, anyway, Reset fed the homeless man the poisoned Oreo, and the man who they're calling Georgie L said, I got sick and threw up a lot. And he was scared because he didn't know what was in the Oreo. So, obviously, one of the things no one ever talks about is homeless people are, like, really disproportionately victims of crime. People consider it to be a victimless crime. You know, in Middlesbrough, for example, it's common around Christmas time that homeless murder rates go up because drunk cunts go out and fucking start fights with homeless people and beat them to death and just leave them in alleyways. It's unreal. It's a documented phenomenon. So obviously, a homeless person gets fed something, starts feeling ill, starts throwing up, probably thinks he's been legitimately fatally poisoned. I can't even imagine what would be going through your head in that moment. Fortunately, he went to a homeless shelter where he was well known. They took care of him. It was all good. But like I said, it's a tragic story. This guy had fled the Ceausescu dictatorship. He'd actually been imprisoned.
Mate, have you read the extra little note in this article, by the way? I don't know if you've missed that. So I'll just read this, mate.
Oh, yeah, I was going to save that till the end.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I'm just making sure that I didn't get missed out, mate.
Yeah, so just in case anybody wants to know about the type of content that Reset makes, as a rule, he's previously offered sandwiches filled with cat shit to kids and elderly people. So he just makes great straight fire, monetize this all
that's
day
definitely
long.
Definitely jail time. That's got to be straight jail.
Oh yeah, he's facing up to 2 years. The other part is he tried to buy the silence. He offered the guy €300. To
stay, like, probably stolen. Less than he made from that one vid.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to fuck it, YouTubers, ladies and gentlemen, YouTubers. Right, here's another thing. Let's talk about some medicine, the world of medicine. People are weird, aren't they? Because we exist in a time where people want to reject science, you know, like people want to reject science. They don't really like it.
Mate, do you know what's mental, right? I have got to admit, I've got a touch of this, right? Obviously not when it comes to major medicine and shit, but like, I don't like antibiotics for a start. I think that just fucks your body up more. Like, I'd never take antibiotics. I don't like taking like shit pain, like paracetamol, ibuprofen. Like, I'm not convinced that paracetamol helps with a whole lot, except for maybe thinning your blood. Like, all these drugs, they scare me, mate. I ain't taking them.
let me tell you, you shouldn't listen to a doctor unquestioningly. That'll get you into some bad places. But by and large, doctors do want to fucking do right by patients. You know, they swear an oath, they're one of the most ethically bound professions out there. And I just saw this on Cosmopolitan, right, which obviously not a publication I read a lot of. It's certainly changed down the years. When I was young, Cosmopolitan was like sort of a saucy ladies magazine. I've just used the word saucy. I may as well be fucking 65. You know, where it was like, what sex position do you use? Ooh, have you heard of this one? It's called doggy style. Like, you know, it was like that back in the 80s. Now it's just all, you know, social justice gibberish and whatnot. So there was this story I saw on Twitter. It was about a big woman. I mean, you know, I hope you don't think it's crude to me. She is fat, isn't she? All right, that's fine. I'm not condemning her for that. But here's the thing. When you're fat, there are considerations that doctors have to factor in before they just give you shit. Like, put it this way. You know, Sam, right? You're a big lad. Cocaine, not your friend, is it? I mean, it is, but it isn't.
Yeah, exactly. Cruel mistress, that old bug of sugar, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you get to a certain size, even a fucking Red Bull will get you palping. Like, fucking...
Oh, yeah, mate. Like, I've de-beefed quite a decent bit. I've lost a good, like, third of my body weight. And before, like you were saying before, remember when we... Mate, I just remembered. Remember at E-League, and we went out for food, and I had a dessert, and I said, I'm palping. I had a cake in Atlanta, mate, and it made my heart palp. I was like, changes must be made, mate. My heart shutting down from a Mississippi mud pie. What's going on down here?
Yeah. I'll tell you what's going on, mate. You nearly had a touch of the Gansophilia.
Exactly, mate. It went too deep. I almost balloonsheed myself.
Yeah, the Gandolfini's, he died eating a fucking cannoli.
So what a way to go, though. Fair play. If Tony Soprano's going to die.
Yeah. So anyway, you got to consider this shit, right? So it says here, Cecily Bowen had a doctor who refused to give her birth control because she didn't want to be held liable if Bowen had a stroke. Here's what happens when doctors body shame their patients.
Whoa. That is not shaming, though, is it? That's just telling you the possible side effects. If I give you this, you might die.
Yeah, I do not want to be liable for you having a stroke, right? Like, no doctor wants that. It's mad in America as well. You know, right now, with all the opiate crisis legislation coming in and stuff, doctors are fucking scared to prescribe drugs that people need because all it takes is one motherfucker to pop one too many of the fucking good time pills and they lose their license. So quite obviously now in that culture, doctors will err on the side of caution. But here's the thing. If you're so fat that you are at an increased rate of stroke if prescribed a certain type of medication, and the doctor says, I don't want to give you that, is the doctor body shaming you, or are they keeping you alive? Like, it's kind of the second one, isn't it?
I mean, body shaming would mean the doctor say, look at you, you fucking fat, you think I'm going to give you any drugs, you little fat, so how would I waste my time? It's not saying that, it's just like, oh, because you're overweight, if I give you this drug, your chance of a stroke will increase. The body shaming. No, just telling you the side effects.
Yeah, just like for real. Like, I want my doctor to be straight up with me. I don't want the doctor to protect my feelings. Like, I don't want the doctor to come in and go, fucking hell, this guy's got 6 months to live. Oh, I don't want to make him sad.
Ah, you're fine, mate.
Ah, you sound, mate. You sound. What about this giant truncated rectum that's all black?
Nah.
Ah, that's
walk just, that off.
Yeah, that'll drop off eventually. So it's just fucked up, isn't it? Like, I don't want my doctors to do that. Meanwhile, though, on the other end of the spectrum, some motherfuckers are having a laugh. They're having a laugh with what they think they can get away with. Now, Sam, I had to go into the fucking depths to find this. The Grimsby Telegraph, Sam. A fine publication. I'd always hoped to work for it one day, but...
Alas. You
know, alas, I chose Breitbart as well.
Would have got way less shit if you worked for Grimsby, mate.
I don't know, maybe. Can you imagine it? He's evil, he works for the Grimsby Telegraph! You ever been to Grimsby? It smells of fish.
Even
anyway.
Got Grim in the name.
Yeah, it's fucking... It's Grim. Right. So, the Grimsby Telegraph reported a story with just one of the wildest headlines I think I've ever seen. Like, Alex,
I don't.
Right. Alex Jones wants to get on this because it's not just the frogs that are getting turned gay. Man claims painkillers made him gay, but his dad says he always thought he was bisexual. Scott Purdy from Louth claims that the drug Pregabalin gave him homosexual urges and he left his girlfriend. Just a word of advice, right? If you ever tell your story and it's this, painkillers turned me gay, don't take your photograph holding up the gay drugs. Don't do that. Wearing a pink shirt.
He's embraced it. He loves it. But we need to go deeper. I need to know, is he happy with this turnout? Is he annoyed? Because, right, well, I've read these stories before. Like, you've seen the ones with, like, a fucking lumberjack. I remember, like, it was on Ricky Gervais' show, lumberjack, who got a fucking... He got a liver... Not, yeah, a liver transplant or a kidney transplant from a woman. And he said it turned him into a woman. He suddenly liked ironing and, like, knitting instead of doing lumberjack shit. But I'm like, but if you like it, why are you arsed? Like, but you're enjoying knitting, aren't you? Why don't you just do the knitting? Just like, oh, so I ain't going to hot that wood up anymore. I can just have a nice scarf. Like, you should be landing. It's like the mad shit, like, he had a serial killer's hand and then he started murdering. It's like, no.
Why was I not informed?
I mean, there's loads of stories like that.
About a lumberjack being turned into a woman. Like, why
yeah,
was
that? He had that female kidney, bro. Fucked his life up. Just knitting now, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't believe that, right? But look, right? It says here, He is adamant that he became homosexual after taking the medication for his broken foot and was always straight beforehand. He said the drug...
Oh, man.
He said...
That's a nihilin. No, it was a pill.
I know.
I promise you, it was a pill. Man. I was straight as hell.
Like, come on,
I
man.
I know. Just be at peace with yourself.
This is Tom Cruise, John Travolta levels of closet... denial. Like, it's all right, brother. It's 2018. No one gives a fuck, mate. Just chill. You don't need to blame it on the painkillers that have never had a recorded instance of turning anyone gay ever before. You don't need to do that. You just left your heifer of a missus and decided you wanted to fucking go out there and get some dick. Good for you.
Yeah, fair dues. Just admit now it. Stop blaming medicine.
Yeah, now you're living your motherfucking movie, mate. Right? He said it. I mean, his dad's really throwing him under the bus here. Like, he's out
the
there.
Street him.
I know. He's out there going, right, I'll blame the painkillers. The girlfriend will come back. Everything will go back to normal. His dad has now claimed in an interview with national media that his son had had sexual relationships with men before taking the drug. And he always believed his son to be bisexual. It's like, fucking hell, dad. Didn't you get the memo? It was the pills. It was the fucking pills. He said, I noticed my libido for women had gone and I was wanting male attention. I was with a girlfriend I had been with for around 6 months. Super long-term relationship. I had never been interested in men. When I was younger, I was a little bit curious. But a couple of weeks after that, I started...
Nothing.
I started taking it and I turned around and I said, I don't find her physically attractive anymore. She knew I was taking Pregabalin. I said to her, I didn't really know what's happening to me, and I told her I like men, and I just can't be with you. She was relatively understanding as you could possibly be. I'll tell you, she's loving the fact it was the drugs and not her.
Yeah.
So you've done her a service. But come on, it's not the drugs, is it? You are just gay. It's fine. Madness. So yeah, he's blaming the painkillers.
Thing is, though, I don't get how this is preferable as to just coming out and saying, oh, I'm gay, I finally realise, you know, I've come to terms with myself, this is who I am. You've gone on TV everywhere and said that you are gay, but painkillers did it. You could have just said you were gay, yeah.
Yeah, like, no one would have given a fuck, like, just, you know, he's gay and he sounds, that's it.
Even your dad now, said, I always knew, so your family aren't arsed.
Yeah, like, now what happens? What if you have to recall all the drugs, and people who need the drug can't have the drug? All because of your mad closeted lie. This is ridiculous. This is worse than fucking Tom Cruise. A hilarious name when you think about it. He's jumping on that fucking couch. I love women. I mean, Katie, whatever her name is.
I love Katie Holmes. I love Katie Holmes.
Yeah, the one the Church of Scientology totally made happen. Like, fucking come on.
This is all allegedly. We do not know Tom Cruise's sexuality. He's quite litigious, mate. So,
I'm protected by satire. So. It's all of this is satire. Fun. Obviously. It goes without saying. We've done 119 episodes. It's all satire. But that isn't even the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, right? Like, painkillers turning people gay, all right? It's pretty out there, pretty ridiculous. Then I went to India, right, to have a look what's been going on in the Indian news. In India Today, good publication, if you want to know what's going on in India. Well, there's a professor from...
what does this mean?
Kerala, and he's come up with a new theory, because obviously...
Don't say theory.
It's a theory.
It's more of a statement than a theory.
He's come up with a theory, Sam, and his theory, it could revolutionise the way we think about things. For a long period of time, people have been wanting to know, you know, obviously transgender people, a lot of people are like, well, how does that happen? How do we have, you know, so much research been done into it. The science is still a little bit ropey. We don't understand it. Autism, people are blaming vaccines, nonsense, of course. People are like, well, why do we have autistic children? Are rates really going up, or is it just more? Are we just better at detecting it? There's so much around these two instances that we don't understand. We still don't understand much about the human psyche, what makes us, these, you know, states of being. Anyway, this professor's cracked it, mate, according to him. He says that women who wear jeans, they're the ones who give birth to the transgenders and autists. That's what he says. It's because you wore jeans. And I was like, he means jeans. Like,
as in jeans.
He's got confused. Nah, he means jeans, like denim jeans, like Levi's, Wranglers jeans. Right?
Does it matter what kind of jeans? Are we talking boot cuts? Are they skinny? Like, is there a different kind of disabilities caused by the tightness of the jeans? I gotta know more about this theory, man.
Right. So he was, this doctor, right, said, a woman who dresses up like a man, that will be the character of the child she gives birth to. These children are called transgenders or Napum Sakum. Right?
Wow.
Then he goes on and he says, when a woman degrades her womanhood and a man degrades his manhood, the girl born to them is manlike. The child this girl later gives birth to will be a transgender.
He says it as if it's 100% fucking true.
He sussed it, mate.
He's like, find me a woman right now who wears jeans, who's ever been given birth to a daughter. How about everyone in the world, mostly?
Now, the good news is the State Minister for Health and Social Welfare has banned this doctor from being anywhere near government programs and has condemned the ridiculous comment saying Rajiv Kumar has been consistently propagating superstitious and sexist ideas. We're thinking about legal action against him for making such derogatory comments.
India's been making quite a lot of changes recently. I saw like a lot of the caste system has been changed. Like the untouchables, what they used to call them, are like suddenly not casted out of society anymore. It's good, mate. I like seeing human evolution and progress. It's good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good. And you know, also from India, I used to watch this thing on Channel 4 called Mahabharat. When I used to wake up super early, and this was what was on Channel 4 when I was a kid. You wake up early, you get some cartoons, and then it would segue into Mahabharat, which is this big Indian mythological epic, and it was like basically people in chariots firing bow and arrows at each other.
That's huge. Bit.
That is fucking big, mate. And then it would go into either sumo, which was big.
Yeah.
I even remember all the names of the sumo wrestlers from the 80s because I religiously used to watch sumo. But also, when sumo wasn't on, kabaddi. You've seen kabaddi, right?
Oh, wait, kabaddi. Is that the sport? Is that the Indian shin-kicking thing?
It's like tag.
Oh, okay, because there's another one where there's shin kicking as well. I can't remember that one, where you literally just boot each other in the shins until one of you give up.
Well, I don't know. I'll be honest. My recollection of the rules are pretty hazy. But I think there's two zones, right? And you have to go into the zone and try and tag the soles of the feet of somebody to get them out. But you have to hold your breath while you're in the zone. And to prove that you're holding your breath, because obviously you could be cheating, you've got to go in and go, kabaddi, 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 kabaddi. And you've got to keep saying
it.
You
can breathe in between that. There must be some practice involved. Kabaddi, kabaddi,
well, look, I don't know if they take measures against circles.
There's got to be. Nah, mate, I don't think they will be. I think that's like angle shooting in poker, isn't it? You've got to figure out how to breathe in between the baddies, isn't you? Literally.
Yeah. So kabaddi, right? So people should just go Google it, find out about it yourself. But anyway, I'm not talking about kabaddi. I'm talking about Mahabharat, right? It's this big mythological epic. And a guy from India actually came out and said, and not just any guy. I mean, that's pretty dismissive. This was a chief minister in India. He came out and said that basically, satellite communication, the internet and all that, it existed 3,000 years ago during the time of the Mahabharat. Right? He says here, internet and satellite communication had existed in the days of the Mahabharata. Sanjaya, the charioteer of King Dhritarashtra, using the technology, gave a detailed account and description to the blind king about the battle of Kurukshetra.
Right.
He said, the Europeans and Americans may claim they invented it, but it's actually our technology from 3,000 years ago.
Ooh, let's calm down. Let's calm down.
So, he basically says, yeah, 3,000 years ago, we invented the internet. Fuck all y'all. So there you go. Just putting that out there. You think you know things. It's mad what you come up with when you research stuff. I had no idea the internet existed 3,000 years ago. Good to know. Do you like coffee, Sam?
I'm not a big fan. Like, I decided, like, caffeine in general, I now, like, carefully limit myself to. I feel like it, because I used to drink energy drinks all the time, and I realized I just don't get the benefit anymore. It's just the downside. Yeah, you're palping, aren't you? You're putting on weight and palping. So I'll have a rare coffee if I need it. If I feel like I'm burned out, I'll have a coffee to spur me up.
Mm. Well, I like coffee. It's part of my morning routine now. I drink coffee till I palp, and then I'm ready to face the day. Once I get that uncomfortable tachycardia and sweats and feel a bit weak. Yep, that's it. Time. It's time to go about
Send
my
me in
day.
Quick. Kabaddi, 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 kabaddi. I'll get your fucking feet.
Well, just be careful because, you know, coffee comes from all over the world, right? Because, you know, everybody says what's your favorite type of coffee, what type of beans do you like? And there was a story in the news. I'm just going to say this. Maybe don't get Vietnamese coffee, right? Maybe don't risk that because in the Straits Times, which is what... That was the same newspaper that reported the story about the painkillers. Wait. I'm just kidding. Timestamp that. There was this story that came out of Vietnam that a Vietnamese factory were basically cutting corners to make coffee, right? And you're like, well, what were they using? The desiccated husks of coffee plants. Substandard beans. I don't know. How bad could it be, right? Well, these motherfuckers were making coffee out of used batteries.
Sorry.
Used batteries and dust.
Just dust, just general dust. Are they wiping it off the fucking countertops or something? Where's the dust coming from?
And soil, just dirt off the ground.
Give me the soil, I'll take a soil. If you're going to poison me, make it soil.
Right.
Put lithium in my coffee, mate.
So it's in Ho Chi Minh City, a Vietnamese family-run coffee manufacturer based in Dac Nong province has been caught producing dirty coffee from harmful materials like used batteries, dirt, and rock dust. The facility, owned by Nguyen T. Luan, was raided by local police and food inspectors on Monday afternoon following tip-offs from residents who were suspicious about the activities being conducted on the premises. According to the authorities, 12 tons of the dirty coffee were seized during the raid.
That's a lot.
Some other raw materials used in production were also found. They included 35 kilograms of black powder extracted from used batteries and a bucket of black liquid weighing around 10 kilograms. The owner told police she would buy rejected coffee beans from other facilities at low prices. The beans would then be ground up and mixed with other ingredients such as dirt and rock dust. Finally, the it would be dyed black using the used batteries. Says here...
I bet that wakes you the fuck up, boy, mate. I bet that knocks you for
sick.
I almost want a cup now, mate. Fucking sign me up for some of that dirty coffee.
Dirty coffee, it has the opposite effect. It puts you to sleep because it's got manganese dioxide in it, which is... It says here, manganese poisoning, also known as manganism, I thought that's what happens if you look at too much anime. manganism can cause brain damage. It was a condition common among manganese ore miners in the 19th century. The poisoning is irreversible. I love a bit of irreversible poisoning. Irreversible and can lead to hallucinations damage. And death. The other chemicals in batteries can lead to one's brain, kidneys, cardiovascular system, and harm your fertility and do damage to your fertility if consumed. So, Vietnamese coffee, not for me, mate. Not for me. I'm swearing off that now. And then just finally, also in food-related crime, a hot new segment on the show, food-related crime. This guy, it's the crime of the century, Sam. Reported on NBC News, a man from Texas has been sentenced to 50 years, Sam, 50 years in prison because he stole $1.2 million. You're like, so far, what? So makes sense.
But he stole 50 years for a mill. Who's he stealing from, I guess?
No, but here's the maddest part, right? He didn't steal money. He stole fajitas.
50 years, mate! What? Did these fajitas fucking conceal government secrets or something? Like, what? 50 years!
50 years. 50 years.
Mate, murderers don't go to jail for 50 years.
Mate, he stole $1.2 million worth of fajitas, mate.
How didn't they know?
So, no. that one in the canteen, is it? Expensive are your fajitas. Anyway.
Has he been printing off coupons or something?
Gilberto Escamilla, 53, was employed at the Darrell B. Hester Juvenile Detention Center in San Benito, Texas, until August 2017, when it was discovered he'd been placing orders for fajitas using county funds and then selling them on the side for his own profit since
2008. Property, mate. You don't fuck with Uncle Sam, do you? Because Sam will fuck you right back. Phineas.
Yeah, basically, it turned out he had managed over that period to take $1.2 million worth of fajitas. Of course, Uncle Sam calculated it down to the last penny. $1 million.
Because they just went through all the orders, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he
I was going to say, they calculate how many fajitas he sold.
But it is where it gets interesting, because we all know how Texas is. You don't fuck around in Texas. You just don't. Texas is a great place. People have their priorities fucking straight in Texas, but just don't commit crimes in Texas ever. Because it's gas chamber shit. Like, they don't fuck around. Because he stole more than $200,000 worth of goods, in Texas, the crime immediately becomes a first-degree felony and allows for sentencing up to 99 years. So, there you go. Maybe he shouldn't have took them for heaters, Sam. Right, now we're going to do some serious bits of news. Right. One of the things that I talk a lot about on this podcast, horseshoe theory, right? And for those who aren't familiar, it basically states that as you go to the extremes of any political orientation, it starts to curve inward, and actually the extremists have more in common with each other, like a horseshoe, than the external parts of the more moderate people who are closer to the center. This has been proven many times over to be a salient kind of observation, because, you know, you look at left-wing authoritarians and you look at right-wing authoritarians, they pretty much want the same stuff. It's just a different playbook, right? Even the racists, you know, you've got the white power, white nationalists, extreme right, death to whitey extreme left. You know, they've got so much in common. They really should have a cup of tea and some sandwiches and just talk about it. Because, and then what we could do as normal people is, while they're having that cup of tea and sandwiches, we can just lock them in a room and never
send
let them
that
out.
Room to Mars.
Yeah, and we just, yeah, exactly.
Elon Not Musk, gonna... I've got a new experiment for you, mate. Can you send a room to Mars?
Can you send a fucking room full of mad cunts to Mars, please? But anyway, I wanted to talk a bit about the rise of the right-wing snowflake. Because obviously, Dankula's verdict had come in. He got an £800 fine. He's contesting that. He's already raised £75,000, I think, of a £100,000 goal to take it to appeal with a much more, kind of expansive legal team. We're not going to talk about that on the podcast. It's not really time. We'll do a separate episode where we really focus on that, I think. Maybe get Dankula on again. Anyway, the rise of the right-wing snowflake, because the right have been saying for ages, look at the left. They want to censor jokes, don't they? They want to censor jokes. They want to censor you for saying offensive things. And it's wrong. And I agree. Jokes are jokes, and freedom of speech is sacrosanct, especially for what I do for a living, what we all do, okay? What we all should aspire to be is exist in a society where people can say shit and it's just words, and we're all adult enough to basically either deal with those words, challenge those words, but ultimately accept that you don't need to put a gun to someone's head and tell them to be quiet. We don't need, you know, we shouldn't really be doing that. That's not a very evolved way of thinking. Now, the right wing talk about this a lot. It's a big talking point how the left wants to censor everybody. But Barbara Bush died. Barbara Bush, bless her. Now, you know Barbara Bush, right?
Indeed.
First lady, the original George Bush, the original one. I was obviously alive when he was a president. Now, I'm not going to mourn Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush, I'm just not really into Barbara Bush at all. I'm not going to celebrate her death, but this idea that I've got to be mourning her as if it was a great loss. First of all, she lived to a ripe old age of 92 and lived most of her life in good health and in fine fettle and enjoying all the health care and everything else that money can buy. Money can buy when you're in bed with the Saudis and you have all that oil money. That's fine. I'm not going to mourn her. People seem to forget that Barbara Bush did say a few crazy things during her time. There was what she said about the Iraq War, where Barbara Bush said that we shouldn't really focus on the casualties in Iraq. It just wasn't pleasant to think about, and ultimately it didn't matter. She said that. She also said during Hurricane Katrina that the people that her son, George W. Bush, left in the Astrodome, living in squalid conditions, she actually said that, well, most of those people were poor anyway, so living in a football stadium is working, quote, working very well for them. So Barbara Bush, for me, wasn't a humanitarian by any stripe. So I'm not going to do cartwheels in the street that she's dead. I did that for Margaret Thatcher, of course, because she had a direct impact on my life. But equally, let's not go overboard with the mourning here. I do subscribe to the Christopher Hitchens philosophy that this idea that you must never speak ill of the dead is completely ridiculous. If somebody dies and they were a masterpiece of shit, it's kind of weird that we all have to pretend that they weren't because somebody somewhere loved them. Yeah, we get that. But once you're a public person, you know, I'm not talking about picketing a funeral, but I am talking about we should be allowed to say on Twitter, this person died. Actually, not sad at all that this person died. That's kind of like the wages of sin you get involved in when you're a public figure. Not everyone's going to care if you live or die. Some people are going to be happy when you die. I'm sure if I died, there'd be plenty of people who would say, I'm glad he's dead. And you know what? They're entitled to say, glad he's dead. They're wrong, because I'm great, but they can say it anyway. They can be wrong, all right? So anyway, this professor, some classic liberal professor who's been in the news before, we might even have covered her on the podcast before, came out and said some ridiculous things about, Barbara Bush, deliberately inflammatory. Let me see if I can find the exact comments so we can assess them in context. So here you go. This is what she said. Here's the original comments, as reported on Fox News, of course. Randa Jarrah, was the name of the professor. She's a professor in California. Where else? And she said here, Barbara Bush was a generous and smart and amazing racist who, along with her husband, raised a war criminal. Get the fuck out of here with your nice words. Now, I will say this. I can't say whether or not she was a racist. Coincidentally, she did raise a war criminal. I mean,
you're not wrong there.
Happened with the Iraq War remains a disgrace to this day, and people are just, oh yeah, it's all good, Richard. We found a paper passport in the flaming wreckage of 9/11 that melted two huge buildings and jumbo jets and incinerated bodies, and you couldn't even go near Ground Zero for months afterwards. But look at this paper passport that we conveniently found in the wreckage. Now let's go blow up Iraq. Just saying. No point in going over that. The official narrative is now accepted. But also it said, either you are against these pieces of shit and their genocidal ways, or you're part of the problem. That's actually how simple this is. I'm happy the witch is dead. Can't wait for the rest of her family to fall to their demise the way 1.5 million Iraqis have. Bye. Now, listen, if you do feel strongly about what happened in the Iraq War, and that number is probably a conservative estimate, 1.5 million people dead because of the bullshit Iraq War. Maybe you are then in right to say, I'm glad this person is dead. I do not think that is a big deal, honestly, to say, I'm glad this person is dead. This idea that you must never speak ill of the dead, you can just test it with some logical premises. Okay, you were abused as a child, your abuser dies. Do I get to speak ill of the dead? Oh, well, of course. Yeah, absolutely. All right, then. So now we admit that there's a spectrum. There's a sliding scale. We can start applying logic to it. If you feel that strongly, about some of the things Barbara Bush has said, you know, maybe it's okay to be glad she's dead. I'm just saying, maybe it's okay. Now, needless to say, I even made the point on Twitter. I said, well, because the right wing love free speech and freedom of expression, they will all defend and champion her right to say this, won't they? Because you have made a very clear, you planted the beautiful American flag and everything it stands for in the Bill of Rights. You have planted it in the sand and you have said the First Amendment will not be impinged upon by these filthy liberals who want to take away your right to freedom of speech. You have said that. You have said that consistently since before the election. This has been a big talking point now for over 2 years. That's where you stand. But of course, to expect either side in this ridiculous, stupid culture war to be logically consistent is nonsense. Fox News, that originally reported it and made it with the first sort of mainstream media outlet to make this a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. Tenured professor at a university says something on Twitter. You know, this is like, this is saying, I'm glad this one person is dead. This isn't even comparable to the professor that said, death to whitey, all I want for Christmas is white genocide. Because obviously, he teaches white students, if you want white people to die, there is an implicit expectation, maybe you will abuse your position of authority. That's one of the reasons why you must always champion racism from people who are in positions of authority. Because what do they do with that authority, right? What do they do with it? So that isn't even the same. I'm against that one. I think certainly the university should have a word with that guy. But this, I'm glad Barbara Bush is dead. What's the problem? How does that impact on her job in any way, shape, or form? Of course, Fox News, they decided that she deserves to be fired. Just flat out. The same branch of politics that was complaining about David Hogg saying we should boycott people for laughing at the fact he didn't get into colleges, equally absurd, is now saying we should fire tenured professors for saying they're glad somebody died. Okay, but you're like, well, you know, Fox is a little bit wild, right? No one else will have done it. It's just Fox. I mean, keep in mind, by the way, Fox also did say, what kind of sick, twisted individual gleefully celebrates the death of a human being? And then they immediately follow that up with saying, unless the death you're celebrating is that of someone like Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden. Oh, so we can celebrate deaths then. You know, I'm not comparing Barbara Bush. I mean, actually, ironically, Fox News have done that. Fox News have compared Barbara Bush to Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden. But I'm not, right? She definitely isn't as bad as them. I think we can agree on that, lefties and righties. But that doesn't mean, proportionally, you still don't have the fucking right to be glad somebody's dead. Of course you can. Ridiculous. And then they got really upset about it because she started saying, well, I'm tenured, I'm untouchable, you can't fire me for this. So then they really doubled down. And it was all the right-wing publications, Sam. It was all of them. The rise of the right-wing snowflake. And I've said it, you lose the moral high ground when you behave in the same way as the people you condemn for behaving in the way you're condemning. The Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, right? Again, a guy who has, you know, championed, free speech. And he's publicly said we shouldn't be boycotting conservatives for expressing conservatives' opinions. Was outraged when Tim Allen's comedy got cancelled. Referred to his book, Primetime Propaganda, when that happened. Talked about, has done videos for Praga University, which again on this channel we fucking laughed at, saying it's all leftist propaganda, except when it was all rightist propaganda. Let's not pretend there hasn't been cultural shifts. It's the media. Yes, media and all art has messages in them. Okay, but the Daily Wire covered it. They described the comments as outrageous. They're so tame, by the way. Just saying, I'm glad she's dead. And actually, Iraqis, I'm sure that the 1.5 million dead Iraqis will never mourn anyone whose surname is Bush. I mean, yeah, tell me something I don't know. Right? So they covered it. They actually wrote about it pretty extensively. You can see here, they also did it twice. So they said, first story was Fresno State professor gloats over Barbara Bush's death. Then their reporters from the Daily Wire started tweeting at Fresno State University saying, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to fire her? Are you going to discipline her? Then they wrote an article saying Fresno State won't condemn the professor who rejoiced over Barbara. They don't need to. They don't need to. No, this is, you have railed against this. This isn't what we should be wanting to happen. Breitbart, of course. Breitbart, who regularly write about free speech and how it's the most important part of an egalitarian society and we must protect it, and people say we're racist and it's wrong and da-da-da. You know, they picked up the story. Again. There it is. And then you're like, okay, right. So, Richard, you're reaching, you know? Fox News, Breitbart, you know, Daily Wire. On top of that, if I remember rightly, let me just check. There was another publication. Of course, the Daily Caller. Yes, Daily Caller was straight in there as well. But the bottom line is, en masse, the right-wing blogosphere, all these right-wing publications went out of their way to start impinging on this individual's right to free speech and wanted ramifications for saying this fairly innocuous thing. And it appalls me that these people who will take when Count Dankula's stuff is vogue, they go, oh, look, you know, what are we going to do here? Blah, blah, blah. They all come out. Why are we not joining hands to support this person? They're even now trying to change the narrative because a few people did after this write op-ed saying, no, that we should take no action against her. Yeah, after you've tried to have the fucker fired. Now, and because they realize it's a bad look, they realize the innate hypocrisy in doing this. It's complete nonsense. Now, the worst part is she's now on leave from Fresno State. So it's actually had consequences. Whatever you think about this individual, whatever you think about the capacity to be a professor, we don't want people getting fired for expressing opinions that aren't even controversial opinions. If we live in a world where saying, I am glad somebody I don't like and ideologically approve of is dead, we've got real problems. We've got real problems as a society. Like, it's going to get worse from that point. And it can't be about left or right. It's got to be about, these are the rules we want to push back against. You can't endorse that. This is what I mean. I talked at the start about the constant stress of working for a big American corporation all the time. Do not talk about politics. It would be better if you don't talk about politics. They're not telling me that for my benefit. It's because they don't want to have to act when the mob comes for you. So anybody, right, left, whatever, that stirs up a mob against something else for something like this, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it just blows my mind that anybody would try and take the moral high ground. I tweeted at one of the, I think it was a Daily Wire reporter, it might have been Daily Caller, but I tweeted specifically at the guy who was spamming Fresno State University. I was like, dude, like, how the fuck do you wake up in the morning and call people snowflakes? How do you do it? You're triggered because someone said, I am glad a 92-year-old former first lady is dead. A woman who said some pretty reprehensible things in her time and is related to a fucking family that is basically a crime syndicate, but we all have to pretend it's a political dynasty. Well, you know, the world is fucking going mad with this shit. It really is. But then, you know, okay, the right are crazy. Tell me something I don't know. The left went crazy again. Same time, same week. I'm in Indiana watching just the fucking world just go to shit. Starbucks, Sam. I was gonna try and segue from the Vietnam thing. I'll tell you a coffee that's good. They don't put batteries in their coffee. But it's better if we come from the right-wing stuff. So there's this juxtaposition so people can see what I'm talking about. Did you follow this story at all?
Indeed, I did. Indeed, I did.
Right. So for those who missed it, there was an incident in a Starbucks in Philadelphia where two black men were sat waiting for somebody that they had arranged to meet to have a business meeting. My understanding is from the reports, they hadn't purchased coffee because they were waiting for their friend to arrive. But one of the men decided that they needed to use the restroom. They asked the manager if they could use a restroom. The manager said it is for paying customers only. Then nobody knows what happened in this weird little interim period. There's conflicting reports. But what we do know for sure is the police were called and that the two men were placed in handcuffs and put in the back of a squad car for sitting in a Starbucks. Now, watch the video. And I'm trying to take a nuanced opinion here, because again, if you're on the left, it's racist, it's an outrage. If you're on the right, it couldn't possibly be racist, and you're an idiot if you think that that's the case. So let me give you my take on it. I watched the video of, again, two black guys doing nothing except waiting in a Starbucks, being handcuffed by police. And I just thought, it's just grotesque, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just how do you justify that? You know, it is awful. It's tough for somebody like me who is of the mindset that we have made great strides, that people who cry racism, institutional racism as the norm, are being unfair. And it's not accurate. And actually, we live in a more tolerant, understanding, and diverse time than any other period in the West in human history. But then you see something like this, and you're like, you know, you do ask the question immediately, would that have happened if it was two white dudes?
That's exactly what I thought. As soon as I said it, I know that wouldn't have happened if it's two white dudes, because I've seen it. Like, it shouldn't, like, whose ass are just sitting down?
Yeah. So, now, equally, I do not feel comfortable labeling it as a racist incident, because Starbucks have not revealed what their policy is, right? Now, if your corporate policy, and again, how it works with corporations is they have rules that every store in every country must adhere to. And if you do not enforce those rules and the corporation finds out that you haven't been enforcing their corporate rules, their corporate mandated rules, you lose your job. Now, if it is corporate Starbucks policy that non-paying customers can be asked to leave, and if they do not leave, the next step in the procedure is to call the police, that manager has simply done their job. And it's quite telling to me that Starbucks have not come out and clarified what their policy actually is at any point in this debacle. Now, just so people get on the same page, here's the video. This is interspliced with an interview that the two men who were arrested did with CNN. So I'll let you play this so people can see the arrest and their opinions on it. Just let me know when you're ready, and we'll do the old 3-2-1.
Buffer.
Does like a buffer.
CNN. Right. There we go. Right. 3, 2, 1, go.
He wasn't read any rights. Nothing. Just double lock, handcuffs, behind our back, and escorted out and put into a squad car. I was just trying to, you know, process the situation to myself at the time, because I'm thinking about my family that I have, my community. It didn't really hit me what was going on, that it was real, until I'm being double locked and my hands behind my back. I want to make sure that in this situation doesn't happen again. So what I want is for a young man or young men to not be traumatized by this, and instead motivated, inspired.
It's not just a black people thing. This is a people thing. And that's exactly what we want to see out of this, and that's true change. So put action into place and stop using your words.
So, like I say, I can't imagine what it's like. You know, I mean, I haven't been arrested for a long, long time. And I can't imagine kind of what it's like to just be sat there chilling in a Starbucks and it escalate to that stage. I really don't. Now, without knowing more about it, I can't really give an opinion about sort of right and wrong. But here's what I will say. Starbucks have not clarified their policy at all. There's the chance that the manager was following policy, a very high chance in my opinion. I do not know why a manager would take it upon themselves to just call the police in that situation. Who needs the fucking headache? Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, if that was what I thought, was if that was two white guys who said, what are you doing here? Why haven't you bought anything? Waiting for a friend. We're having a meeting. All right, cool. I feel like that's how the conversation should go.
Not yeah, me. Well, it's not that, like... that is how the conversation should go. And then, you know, if you wait, right, and keep in mind, this was the first time they'd interacted. You know, if you want to keep an eye on it, and like 30 minutes later, they're cheesing the free Wi-Fi, and obviously this meeting hasn't materialized, and you go over and you say, look, you know, it's been 30 minutes, your guest doesn't turn up, do you want to buy some coffee? Please, you know, like, just get a cup of black coffee, you can sit here. You know, just be reasonable about it. Just be reasonable about it. That's all you have to be. But I think, this is my true belief, I think corporate policy dictates that you aren't to engage customers that aren't buying stuff. You give them a warning. If they don't comply, you immediately get the police involved. I honestly believe, for like safety reasons or whatever, that is Starbucks corporate policy. I think that'll come out, right? And we'll get into why that's important. But anyway, the manager got fired, okay? Which is another reason why it's super important we know, was she just a racist asshole, or was she enforcing Starbucks corporate policy? We've got to know that, right? But there was somebody did some digging, and it was reported on the Daily Wire by Ben Shapiro that apparently the manager that did this was considered to be a massive social justice warrior. They said she was a social justice warrior feminist of the highest order. And this is quotes from the interviews. They said, I don't know what happened last week with the two guys. I wasn't there, but I highly doubt that she saw the two men and decided to call the police based solely on the fact they are black. From my observations and interactions with her, I was actually under the impression that the manager is a social justice warrior feminist of the highest order. Once I even overheard her scorn a male barista for not using the proper neutral pronouns with somebody. That's why this whole situation is so shocking to me. Even though I did not agree with her and all the SJW pins that adorn her beanie, I think calling her a racist all over the news and doxing her name, because naturally her details came out, is disgusting. The patron then went on to say, Holly is not a racist and doesn't deserve what's happening here to her in Philly. I mean, you know, she's now known in her local community and is reviled. It's actually potentially a dangerous situation for her, which is again why Starbucks don't need to come out and virtue signal about whether this was right or wrong. They need to come out and clarify what their corporate policy is, because if it is policy to call the police on people that, you know, once they're approached, they do not make a purchase, then she has done her job, rightly or wrongly, whatever we think about following the rules, and therefore dismissing her and punishing her is completely wrong and actually reprehensible. So the follow-up from this, and this is where I start to think maybe Starbucks are starting to lose the plot a little, because I just sent you a link there. The police actually apologized for the way this was handled. They were saying there was absolutely no need. This was reported in the Wall Street Journal. There was no need for the situation to have escalated to the point where it did, where these two guys who were doing nothing except sitting in a Starbucks end up in the back of a squad car. There's literally no need for that. And the police have apologized. What's not being talked about is whether or not it's a police failing. Like, police could have potentially come out and said, listen, they're a private business. They can choose who's in and who's out. They want you to buy some coffee. Would you do me a solid and just buy a couple of cups of coffee? Maybe predict what your friend is going to have. And if you know, could you just do that for me so I don't have to escalate the situation? You know, like community policing, like how it used to be.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about the police in this situation. Everybody is talking about Starbucks, right?
Yeah, did you see Kevin Hart actually tweeted out, I'll have to grab that tweet, where he said, although what happened is disgusting, well, I can't remember the exact word, but he basically said, do not blame Starbucks as a whole company for the actions of one person. And then everyone was like calling him fucking mad names, saying, look, he's turned against us, he's fucking one of the people, he's all, what do you mean, you are racist now? I was like, what the fuck are you on about? What do you mean? Yeah. How is Kevin Hart racist now?
Well, I mean, you know, that people are calling Kanye West an alt-right figurehead today. So, yeah, that's the alt-right who want a white ethno-state, yeah? They love Kanye. So the world is insane. But let's just go on. So as a result of this, what Starbucks have decided to do, rather than clarify their corporate policy and maybe admit that their policy might be a bit heavy-handed, because if they had to do that, they might get in trouble. They might lose some points of their stock value or whatever fucking these corporations, kind of measure their success by. And they might have to admit that they unfairly dismissed the manager for following corporate policy. They have now decided that if you work at Starbucks, all of their staff now have to go on racial bias training. That's 175,000 employees that must take what is called an unconscious bias training course to prevent them from being racist in the interaction of selling coffee. Now, again, why haven't you just clarified what your policy is, Starbucks? I don't get that, because this is certainly going to cost you a lot of money. And if your policy was the problem, it's not your staff who need to change. If that staff member has followed the letter of the rules that she is bound by as an employee of your corporation, then that's the issue, not the fact that she was subconsciously racist or whatever you're trying to say. And again, understand that for me, the police have had the greater failing, in my opinion. If policy is, we've got to call the police, and the police come out and go, listen, I know you're just two dudes sat in a coffee shop. Here's the handcuffs. We all know the police in America, they're pretty heavy fucking handed. We saw an incident just the other day where a guy drove a truck, this is in Toronto, drove a truck into a crowd, killed 10 people, pulled a gun on an officer saying he was going to shoot him, and the officers brought him in alive.
Yeah, that was a fucking hell of a video, mate. We should probably show our next show or something.
Yeah.
As an example of how a good policeman can disarm a situation and fucking take away any conflict.
Yeah, if that was America, that motherfucker's dead before he even gets out the car.
The thing is, that's a situation where you can understand, like, that's definitely if he shot him, nobody's going to complain. The guy's got a gun in his hand, he said he's going to kill you. If you shoot that suspect, no one's getting it.
To be fair, it wasn't a gun. He was saying he had a gun, it was like it was a phone or something. Now, whether the officer identified that, it don't matter.
Yeah, pretty fucking heavily adrenaline rushed moment that we admit when you confront a fucking mass murderer and you fucking have to get him in. Weird that.
So it was obviously an attempt of suicide by cop, and it points to the fact that American police, their training is so piss poor compared to other police forces in the world. Because when people try and commit suicide by cop, they're generally not a risk to you. They're trying to die. And you know, you don't need to light him up immediately. You know, in America, we exist in a place where people who are on like bath salts are getting choked to death. People who are selling cigarettes on street corners are getting fucking choked to death. People are being put in illegal headlocks, shot in the back. It's some of the police are just straight wilding the fuck out in the US, and it's been a long term problem. We talked about it on the podcast week in, week out. I'm not saying all police. I do not subscribe to the idea that all police people are bad.
No, definitely not.
Of course they're not. But in a police force the size of America, obviously there's going to be a lot of bad apples doing some crazy shit. And police forces around the world look better equipped. France, you know, Toronto, Canada. But anyway, so they're now doing this subconscious diversity training, which, by the way, I think is a fucking scam. I'll say that. A lot of these diversity training and subconscious bias courses, they're just concocted by fucking think tanks. They go out to corporations and they basically say, like, oh, you will have less instances of lawsuits if you pay us the money to say that, well, it's all about liability. Does anyone believe Starbucks care about racial harmony? Like, about, right? They're a corporation. Corporation.
All they care about is green, mate.
Exactly. All they care about is money. It's a liability scam. If you have the training and then you fuck up and do something that's construed as racist, Starbucks get to turn around and go, well, we're not liable for their actions because we sent them on a diversity training course. We can fire them without any problem. It wasn't anything to do with us. We don't have a problem. It's a scam. This type of training is a scam. What is unconscious bias training anyway? How do you... let's accept this premise. How do you deconstruct unconscious bias as an adult with, like... a one-day training course? Like, psychotherapists spend months, years trying to get people out of, like, negative, but, you know, actual scientific, you know, psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's complex. You don't just undo someone's supposed, assuming they even exist, unconscious racial biases in an evening, do you? Like, you know. And again, this is all to deflect from the bigger issue. Did she enact policy or not? If she didn't, I will accept that maybe she jumped the gun in a racial manner, and what she did could be construed as racist. I will certainly accept it. If she just enacted corporate policy, I cannot accept that, because maybe the situation would have been the same. And Starbucks know this, and that's why they're deflecting it. Now, here's the thing. Once all of this happened, you can imagine, right? Because there was all these protests in Starbucks, and people saying Starbucks is a racist corporation, and if you work for Starbucks, it's akin to being in the Gestapo, and all this hyperbole, right? And it's just all nonsense. It was one incident in one Starbucks in Philadelphia, enacted by one person. What does that really say about Starbucks? It is nothing, right? But they all went wild. So then to troll Starbucks for being so, like, over the top about it all and trying to divert and deflect from all the negative coverage, they were getting straight wrecked. So on 4chan, they made a fake coupon, a fake voucher, which said, we're sorry, and if you're black, you get free coffee. Right? Here it is. We're sorry. We know we can do better. Starbucks values all people of color, and we are working on employee sensitivity training. The best dialogue starts over a cup of coffee, and we'd like to buy you one. Here's one free beverage, any size, any variety, you know, fake barcode. Looks very convincing. But the idea of a corporation would ever sign off and go, look, if you're black, we're just going to give you stuff for free, is absurd, right? And then people got wise to it, and the media started reporting and saying this is fake, because there was videos of people taking this online, using it and it working, right? Because seriously, if you're a Starbucks employee, I know how this works. The store manager pulls you in the morning. I've worked in retail. I know how this goes down. The store manager gets an email. This is a fucking nightmare. This is a shit show. Pull everyone in and tell them, like, no police called under any circumstances for anything. No argument. You know, just don't. Just please. Like, we've got to get through this because this might hurt us on a financial level, right? And then the manager comes out and goes, now, I'm sure you saw the disturbing scenes in Philadelphia. We obviously are better than that. We're gonna do. So we're just going to take a more relaxed approach to people coming in. Let's not get into any trouble. Blah, 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 and out it goes. And then, of course, this happens. And then they get sent another email. There's some fake vouchers being sent out. And don't give away free coffee. But equally, if anyone asks, don't challenge them. And certainly don't call the police. They're having a fucking meltdown. So the press started reporting that these vouchers were fake. So what do you think 4chan did again? A second wave of vouchers. More vouchers for the boys. And this was a corporate-looking memorandum that was sent out. We here at Starbucks are very sorry to hear about people being tricked into believing a hoax perpetuated by Russian internet trolls.
Throw that little Easter egg in there, man.
And it works, mate. It works because everything's the Russians now. Everything's the fucking Russians now. Here's the Russian trolls, right? So it says, Russian internet trolls are offered coupons entitling people of color to free coffee. Starbucks is a company that employs and serves people from all backgrounds, and we feel that the best way to bridge a gap is to start a dialogue. The best way to start a dialogue is with a cup of coffee. Although this started as a hoax, after mountains of positive feedback on social media, we've decided to make it a reality. Starting tomorrow, April 19, 2008, through April 26, 2008, we'll be providing all of our customers free beverages of their choice in addition to 50% off all food items. We cannot let the racial division stoked by Russian internet trolls divide our country any longer. Kevin Johnson, Starbucks CEO. So then people were taking this and going, I want my free shit. I want my free shit.
Look at this letter. Give me the free shit.
Yeah. So, all right. This is where it took off to another level. I actually followed this account already. I can't remember why. But there's an account on Twitter called Hotep Jesus.
Right.
Great name. For many reasons that we haven't got time to talk about. But I already followed the dude, so I don't know if he's come up in something else. But he was like another kind of like aspiring comedian and sort of performance artist. I think he's also wrote books as well. Anyway, he's like had this huge spike in popularity as a result. He was even interviewed on Fox News, right? Because he did this. He did a video where he went into Starbucks, all right, and got them to give him free coffee and filmed it. Basically saying, reparations.
This is fuck.
Yeah, so let's just play that, right? And we'll get it. 3, 2, 1, whenever you're ready.
3, 2, 1, go. He knows. He knows it's gonna work before he's even done it.
We about to go inside. Get my free coffee.
See, he knows.
Y'all ready? Are y'all ready? About to get my free coffee.
Just standing calmly waiting for his turn to be served.
Yep.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right, I heard y'all was racist, so I came to get my free coffee.
I saw that.
Yeah, I heard you guys don't like black people, so I wanted to get my Starbucks reparations
Not
voucher.
What's that? Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
I mean, I'll give it to you. I saw that on my Twitter last night. I was like,
yeah, I need a free coffee.
All right, so
that's what I'm talking about. This is justice.
Philly? What? Are you serious?
Oh, she just poured it. No question. He hasn't even got the function, mate. Coupon not required.
No, not required. That's
this
the thing.
Justice. This is what I'm talking about.
This is the taste of justice.
It's great customer service. Absolutely.
There is a way, and I'm getting this free coffee too.
Could you imagine?
You can tell the girl is just like, oh shit, yeah, sure.
You just throw some milk in it.
Hopefully I don't get fired.
Whole. Yeah. Reparations, man. Gotta get my reparations for being black in America. Black Lives Matter.
Oh, what a problem.
Do you have any flavors in it? We got caramel.
Oh shit, he's getting flavored.
I'll take caramel.
No, he goes big.
Is that going to make it sweet?
Black coffee.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
What a boy. Fair play, man.
Huh?
There it is, man.
What's your name? I appreciate you. Amanda. Amanda, you are great.
Last day here.
Oh, there we go. It's her last day. She just didn't want any shit.
I'm a student at Ryder, and our finals are starting next week.
Uh-huh.
So I had to, stop working so I could do my finals and stuff. Then I go home for the summer.
I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Yeah. You too.
Straight to a kid. No problem.
Enjoy that massive cup of caffeine.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get your free coffee out here, man. You got to get your Starbucks reparations, man. Huh? Yeah. This is how we do, man. Black lives matter, baby.
That's fucking baller.
Okay, so what I sort of liked about this is, and he went on a Fox News interview and sort of clarified it all, is that, look, it does bring it all into sharp focus. For me, the issue was... It is more about the corporation kind of not respecting people that could effectively be its patrons. I believe the manager was kind of on a hide into nothing. I think she followed policy. And unfortunately, in this instance, a combination of things, the police came up and were heavy handed, maybe because the two individuals were black. But equally, the idea that this company and everyone who works for it is inherently racist and sort of feels the need in this like knee-jerk guilt to then say, hey, yep, absolutely, you know, have some free coffee, have this, have that. You know, that's equally absurd, isn't it? And this sort of cut through the bullshit. He went on Fox and, you know, talked a lot about how, like, you know, he's a black conservative and all that stuff about how it's pushed into the – you have to believe the victim mentality or the liberals won't support you and they won't give you a microphone and they won't give you a platform. And, you know, we've started to see this a little bit with what happened with Kanye. So it's a topic that's been running on, and Candace Owens, and that's been running on in the news cycle the past week. But like my take on all of this is simple, that yes, black men certainly shouldn't be treated in a more heavy-handed manner by the police because they are black. Absolutely not. And corporations certainly shouldn't be calling the police on paying customers or potential paying customers simply because they're frequenting their establishment. If the escalation process is, are you going to buy some coffee? No, I'm just waiting for a friend. Then we're going to buy the coffee. Fuck you. Get arrested.
It's not a reasonable timeline.
Yeah, that's a much bigger issue to be talking about than, you know, was it or wasn't it racist? So I saw the arguments on both sides. I thought it had a bit of a happy ending in the sense that I think most people accepted it was a ridiculous thing. I don't know where kind of what happens next for Starbucks, like, you know, how crazy this is going to be. But I hope somebody, some manager somewhere, leaks their corporate documents that show what their policy is, because that is way more important than all of this, you know, left-right racist bullshit. Right, anyway. One story before I, as a palate cleanser, before we end the show on the saddest story of all time, and then we're just going to end. We'll just literally, can you make it just, we just fade to black at the end? That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. Fade to black. I might not even say goodbye, we'll just fade. But anyway, right, we've talked on the show about how we hate fucking birds, right?
Yeah.
Just fucking all sorts of birds. Like, some birds are just aggro, like swans mainly. Swans,
again,
I've got no time.
I've said this so many times, it's starting to become a bit of a meme now, but bring me any bird that isn't from the dinosaur times and I'll fuck it up, mate. I don't care. You can talk about how cool and hard these birds are. Fucking ostrich as well. All right, and I can snap an ostrich's neck. Come at me. I'm ready for him, mate.
So, this story was just mental, mate. Because now, Seagulls are framing people for crimes. The seagulls are framing people. This is the headline, mad headline. Hotel forgives guest whose room was trashed by hungry seagulls. So a Canadian man was pardoned by a luxury hotel after his room was ransacked by a flock of pepperoni-loving seagulls 20 years ago. Nick Burchill was banned by the Fairmont Empress in Victoria, British Columbia, after a string of unfortunate events. I'll say unfortunate events in 2001. Right, so basically what he did was he went out and he got something called Brothers Pepperoni, which is a delicacy in the place he was staying at. And he'd kept it at room temperature for a short time and he wanted to cool the meat. So it obviously out there in Nova Scotia, he just put it on the windowsill, right? Just to make sure it was refrigerated because the room had no refrigerator. So he wanted to keep this pepperoni cool, so he put it on his windowsill. And he went out for a walk. And when he come back, there were 40 seagulls in his room.
Fucking
40 seagulls.
Moved in?
40 seagulls jacked up on fucking pepperoni, right? But here's the thing. Seagulls weren't meant to eat delicious spicy pork, and it wrecked their digestive system. Right. So basically they were shitting everywhere. They were like flying funny because they were like, oh, I don't know why I'm shitting so much. He says here, the result in my room was a tornado of seagull excrement, feathers, pepperoni chunks and large birds whipping around the room. The lamps were falling. The curtains were trashed. So he says here, he waded through.
This line is fucking. Oh, I can just imagine him. Fuck off! Fuck off! Fuck off!
Fucking birds! He waded through the birds and opened all the remaining windows. In his agitated state, he threw a shoe.
He's had enough. My fucking pepperoni, like.
He's thrown a shoe at a confused bird who tried to fly back to the room.
One confused bird.
Both the shoe and seagull went out the window. Finally, only one large seagull with pepperoni still clasped in its beak remained. In a moment of clarity, I grabbed a bath towel and jumped it, he said, and I threw both out the window as well. So basically, he completely wrecked his room. And the hotel thought he just had a bunch of seagulls over for a party.
Why would that ever be a thing?
And, yeah, they banned him from the hotel. But now they've said, listen, it was a bit of a... Yeah, it was a BG. So you can come back to the hotel. And you're welcome back with open arms. So there you go. Right, so let's cheer this all up. Now... it's time to end on the saddest story of all time. The saddest story of all time. Have you seen the episode of Futurama, Jurassic Bark?
Describe it to me. I don't know by details.
Jurassic Bark, it's quite the famous episode. It's basically the one where Fry has a dog and it was his best friend. And obviously Fry gets through time and it ends. And he finds him in like a fossil of him in carbon. And he can bring him back and Bender gets jealous. And anyway, then he decides that, oh, it's not fair because the dog will have forgotten about me. So what's the point in bringing him back just to comfort myself? I'll leave him in the past where he belongs. And then it cuts to a montage at the end where the dog didn't forget about him. It went to where he worked every day and it sat outside until he eventually died peacefully in his sleep. And it's sad, right? It's really sad. And it shows the loyalty of dogs. Now, cats, right? Not a cat person myself, but yeah, basically,
I like cats, man.
I like cats, right? Like they're all right, but I'm not a cat person. I'd never own one. So there was this family in Raleigh, right? And they had a cat, and they moved, right?
Right.
And they decided we don't want to take the cat with us.
Right.
So they gave it away.
I thought you were going to say they just left it. That's egregious.
They gave it away to a neighbor, right? Anyway, the cat escaped the new home and then walked 12 miles back to the family.
Fucking hell.
Right?
How do they know the family? As into their old house or...
No, it found them somehow, right? Basically, it walked back to where they used to live because cats have memories, who knew? Found them, and they were like, oh, our cat's back. Now, what would happen here normally is you would probably say, ah, oh, you fucking...
Yeah, if you fuck up me, any cat that walks 12 miles to come see me, you're going to have to stay in who.
Yeah.
I guess we got this cat for life, put him in the car, he's coming with.
Yeah, so they didn't do that. So,
what do you mean?
What they did is they took the cat and they were like, "Listen, the cat was called Toby. Cat's called Toby." And they were like, "Just wait here a minute, Toby." And they called an animal shelter.
What?
And asked for staff to come out and put him down.
What? Who are these evil cunts, mate?
Hmm.
Absolute cretins, mate.
Just imagine
absolute
it.
Fucking bottom of the earth scum.
Just imagine
a cat's
it,
just fucking walk 12 miles through things he doesn't understand, dodging 12, cars.
12 miles to see his old owners that he lived with for years, and they call an animal shelter and decided to put him down. The animal shelter turned up.
Please and they decided, fuck you, you're evil.
Yeah, they decided they're not...
Good.
That we can't do it because the cat's in good health. And they did help rehouse him. And now Toby is back, missing his owners, wondering why they rejected him so cruelly. And here's a picture of him just looking sad. And that's where we'll end the show.
Hang on,
bye, everyone.
Wait. We need to show the sad cat. Oh, mate! It's even worse when you see him. How could you do this? How could you do this?
No, it's too much,
look
isn't it?
Look at that! Look at him, man!
So there you go. Just to leave you with the feels bad, man. We'll see you next time on the Richard Lewis Show. Maybe. Bye.